So let's review. The Gemara continues elaborating on the Mishnah on Daf Ayin Tes. Le'gadl Odom Es HaKelev Elim Kein Kosher B'Shalsheles. One may not raise dogs unless they're kept chained. The Gemara adds, Rebbe Elazar HaGadol Omer, HaMagadl Kelavim K'Magadl Chazerim, L'Mekam Ala Ba'ar. One who raises dogs as if he raised swine and is also cursed. However, Brisa qualifies. Megadl hu be'ir hasmucha l'svar, v'kosher b'yayim matir b'layla. They may be raised in the border cities where one needs additional protection, but they must be chained during the day and only released at night. Rav Nachman adds, b'chol bavel ki'ir hasmucha l'svar domi. The Mefarshim explained this to include any Jewish community bordering hostile neighbors. The Gemara cites a possible consequence of raising dogs. The pasuk says, "Uvenucha yoimar shuva Hashem rivvitz alfa Yisrael," and this teaches us, "She'ein shchina shayra al Yisrael pachis mishnei alafim u'shnei rivavis chaser achas." The divine presence only rests upon the community of 22,000 Jews. Tosfos points out, although the Gemara elsewhere states the chol be'asar shchina shayra, and in Pirkei Avos even upon one righteous person, Tosfos explains that there are varying degrees of ashras shchina. The Gemara continues. If a community is one member short of this number, and a dog frightens a woman, causing her to miscarry, the person who raised this dog has caused the shchina to depart. The Gemara records an incident in which a woman indeed miscarried. The Mishnah Daf Ayin Tes concludes. In person, one may only trap doves at a distance of 30 ris from a settlement where he will not capture privately owned doves. The Gemara infers from our Mishnah, Meshut Lamed Ris. Doves usually travel distances of 30 ris, which is 4 mil. However, this is contradicted from the following Braisa. Marchikin es ha-shevich min the ir chamishim amah. One must keep his dove cut 50 amas away from a city so that they should not eat the crops surrounding the city. This implies Meshut Nun amah. They only travel 50 amas, not the far greater distance of 30 ris. Furthermore, another brisa says, "B'yishuv afilu meya milo yifris." One may not trap doves in the city even 100 mil away from other dovecots, implying meshet tuva. They travel far more than 30 ris. The Gemara answers, "Meshet shait de tuva." They indeed travel up to 30 ris, and so our Mishnah says that traps must be kept at this distance. While kersayu b'chamishim amamalia, they eat their fill after traveling a distance of 50 amas. And so the Brisa says they may be kept at this distance from the city without endangering the crops. However, b'yishuv kramim meshet tuva. If there are vineyards along the way, it can travel greater distances. Alternately, b'yishuv shevachin, if there are dovecots along the way, that the oivit kechavim belong to non-Jews, or the hefker are ownless, or the day belong to the owner of the traps, he does not need to be concerned with stealing from these dovecots. But other doves may use them to travel greater distances. Therefore, in such cases, the Braisa says that he needs to distance himself even 100 mil from other privately owned dovecots. Hadnu lach merubu e'barachim completed the 7th perek of Masechtas Baba Kama, and we begin the 8th perek, Achevel Be'ez Hashem. This perek deals with nizkei adam, injuries inflicted by one person on another. Zak the Mishnah, Achevel Be'chaveroi, Chayev lov mishu b'chamisha dvarim. One who injures another person is obligated to pay 5 forms of compensation. Benezik, for the actual injury. Bitsar, for the pain. Beripui, for the healing expenses. Beshevis, for the loss of income. Uvaishis, and for his humiliation. Rashi adds, V'kulu chamisha dvar mikra nafki. All of these 5 liabilities are derived from sukkim. Nezik, tichsiv ayin tachas ayin. Tsar, mipetza tachas patza. Ripui beshevis, rakshifta yitim v'rapi yirapi. These are all explained in the Gemara. The Mishnah elaborates, Benezek Ketzat, how do we evaluate damages for a permanent injury? Sima es enoi, kita es yadoi, shiber es ragloi, if he blinded his eye, severed his hand, or broke his leg, reinoi se ki'iluhu evad nimka b'shuk, v'shaman kama hoya yafa v'kama hu yafa. We evaluate his decreased value on the slave market. The Mishnah continues, Tsar, how do we evaluate the payment for pain? Kavoi b'shvur oive masmer v'afila al tziparnoi mokum sheino isechabura. If he injured him with a spit or a nail, even if it did not affect his value, such as a wound on his fingernail, aim din kama adam kiyetsa b'zer roitzalit alis mitzarkach. We evaluate the cost at which someone of his dispensation would agree to undergo such pain. As Rashi explains, lafi mashahu mu'unig rav tzare. A delicate, pampered person has less tolerance for pain. The Gemara Daf Pehei elaborates. The Mishnah continues, Haripui, how do we calculate the cost of healing? Hiko, chayv l'rafaisai, he must pay for a doctor to heal him. Allah b'it smachem, if he developed sores, imach masamaka chayv, shloy mach masamaka pater. If they are a direct result of the injury, he must pay to heal them. But if not, he's exempt. Chayisa b'nistra, chayisa b'nistra, chayv l'rafaisai. If the wounds keep on returning, he's still liable. But once it was fully healed, even if it returns, he's exempt. The Mishnah continues, Shavas, how do we evaluate the loss of income? He pays him minimal wage for the time he cannot work, and does not pay him according to his original earning power. Because shekvar nasan lo d'mei yadu or d'mei ragloi. He already paid Nezik, compensating him for the injury and all of its effects. The Mishnah concludes, Baishas, how do we evaluate humiliation? Humiliation is evaluated according to the relative status of the mazik and the nizik, as Rashi explains, Adam kal shabayish bushase meruba. The humiliation is greater if caused by a simple person, and Adam chashav shenizbayish bushase meruba. It is greater if suffered by a distinguished person. The Gemara now cites a brayso which brings two sources that one pays financial compensation for injuring another person. The pasuk says that one pays an eye for an eye, which if understood literally means ayin mamish. He should also be blinded. However, Braisa says, Yachal simes eino misame es eino, kites yodoi mikate es yodoi, shibes raglo mishabes ragloi. We do not blind the assailant, cut off his arm or break his leg. Because the pasuk says, regarding injuries to an animal, makin nefesh behemu yishalmeno, nefesh tachas nefesh. And another pasuk says, regarding injuring a person, therefore, we expound Xerishava of the words haka haka as both psukim are discussing injuries, and conclude ma make behemel l'tashlumen af make adam l'tashlumen. Just as for injuring an animal, certainly one merely pays money, so to be injuring a person, he's only liable for monetary compensation. The pasuk says le'sikhu kofel l'nefesh ritzeach ashehu rosh olamus. We may not accept payment in place of the death penalty, implying avat lekech kaifel rashi avam she'ina chayzun. Payment is made in lieu of physical retribution for injuring a person. The Gemara now brings a logical proof of this halacha. Hari shahisa inishal zeh gedoy lo inishal zeh ketana. Heich ani kare be ein tachas ayin. If their eyes are not the same size, blinding the assailant is not fear retribution. Furthermore, we cannot suggest kol ki hai shokol minei m'moina. In such cases where we cannot exact physical retribution, we indeed accept payment instead, because the pasuk says mishpat echad yilachem, mishpat hashab lekulchem. The same penalty is applied to all cases of personal injury. Clearly, the pasuk ayin tachasayin refers to mammon. However, the Gemara rejects this proof. Nahayra shokol minei, nahayra amrachman nishkol minei. The directive of an eye for an eye can be fulfilled by depriving him of his eyesight, which is equal to all. This discussion continues in the next daf.